Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Good afternoon and welcome to Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer and webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com. And also joining him, the all-knowing, perfect bracket for the NHL playoffs, the Dirty D. That's a complete lie.
That's not even close.
Do we want to start off the show with my first redaction about the Vancouver Canucks will win the Stanley Cup Finals, and then they got swept?
I think we can save that for a little later.
Okay.
Gives people something to look forward to. Egg on your face.
And then do we go to my second redaction where I talk about Don Breck gets all of his insight from some woman in South Dakota via Twitter? Because I was also proven wrong on that as well.
Well, I can understand. I'm not going to fault you with that one.
Thank you.
I can understand being skeptical. I mean, he is a Comets fan. I think it comes with the territory that you have to take everything he says with a grain of salt, very large grain of salt.
And he is the moderator of 57 different Facebook groups.
Yeah, and he never posts less than 57 comments in a row.
Correct. So, but anyways, Iceman Insights. Welcome, our second week back, we have returned after a 2 week layoff.
Yes,
and
our brains have been off longer.
Well, I'm still trying to recover from the Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday night.
Yeah.
Just the only time in NHL history that a team has blown a 3-goal lead in a game 7.
Yeah,
I'm going to throw up right now.
It's not how you want to make the record books.
No, but it is the Toronto Maple Leafs, so. Yeah. I was not even surprised at all.
So are you still hungover from that?
No, because I got too many jobs. I couldn't even I couldn't even wash my sorrows away via adult beverages.
That's unfortunate.
So anyways, what do we got on here? News and notes.
Even if you had the opportunity, drink responsibly, children.
Can we talk Todd Robinson or no?
Yeah, we'll get there. We're going to.
I can't wait to talk Todd Robinson.
But first, we start with some Iceman news and notes. The Iceman had a season ticket holder event at Buffalo Wild Wings last week. Wanted to mention they announced that both Evansville Buffalo Wild Wings stores will now be the official road game viewing headquarters for the team.
That is fantastic.
They have gotten out of bed with Main Gate, who did less than stellar as far as making sure the games were actually available as advertised. So they are now hooked up with B-Dubs. And they will have every game at both East and West in Evansville. And they also said they will have a few special viewing parties where the team will be there with prize giveaways and injured players will show up and things like that. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Also, at that event, Coach Jeff Pyle took a microphone that rarely worked. It felt like we were at Swander again with the sound cutting in and out left and right. But he tried to speak briefly about what his plans are and just saying, hi, and here's my plan, and here's what we're going to do. And I thought the interesting takeaway from that was he said in that he will be making some changes that, quote, won't be popular.
I like it.
Yeah.
Got to set the groundwork early.
Exactly. And my gut tells me that that means two things. One, I think the Blues affiliation is done. I think he knows that the Blues are the most popular team here in Evansville, and I think he knows that not being affiliated with them might make some people unhappy, but it's got to be done. It is worth mentioning that his email signature mentions that the Icemen are the affiliate of the Columbus Blue Jackets and Springfield Falcons, and that's it. There's no mention of the Blues side. So I think that is telling. And also, he told me, and I think he's told a few others too, that he actually knows people in the Columbus and Springfield offices. So in hockey, a lot of it is who you know. And if
well,
he,
that's life.
Yeah, that's true. Hockey is life. So
hockey is life.
So yeah, I think Columbus and Springfield is a decent chance that it will happen, but I think the Blues affiliation is probably done. We'll see. I still think if we are with Columbus and Springfield, that's probably going to be the only one. I just don't see this team being affiliated with two different sides again.
Yeah.
I think
that
bridge
nightmare.
Has burned.
Yeah.
So beyond the affiliation, the other thing that tells me the won't be popular decision is I think we have seen the last of Matt Naranjens and also Mark Cody. To his credit, Pyle has been very open about which players he's interested in bringing back. He will talk to any fan who asks him about it. And I've heard from multiple people, and I haven't really talked to Pyle too much about this. I figure the news will come out when it comes out. But multiple others have told me that they've talked to Pyle, and it sounds like we're looking at Josh Beaulieu, Dylan Clark, Jason Dale, Patrick Kennedy.
Jason Dale!
Jake Obermeyer and Chris Forfar, who was here for the last three games of the season, had 3 points in three games. He was one of those late college signees at the end of the season. Those are the guys that are on Pyle's radar from what people have said who've talked to him. Also, he does want Dan Tatro back, and apparently Tatro does want to come back.
Interesting.
It's just a matter of whether or not he will be able to work things out on the personal side, because I believe one of the reasons he was going to retire was that his wife has gotten a nice job offer somewhere else.
That's the way to live.
Yeah.
Hook yourself up to a good-looking girl that makes a lot of money and then just coast for the rest of your marriage.
We've both figured that out. So, yeah. So I think that's really awesome to hear that most of those names are the names we would prefer to have come back. So I'm not terribly surprised by it, but it's good to know that he's open to bringing some guys back. I do think what is glaringly obvious from the names that are in play, supposedly, none of them have ties to Muskegon, which I think is a continuation of the clean slate that we have as far as kind of starting from scratch and creating a new culture that has no ties to the old Lumberjacks franchise. So take of that what you wish.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that as much as, and it could be, but a lot of those guys are getting a little long in the tooth, the Phil Plants. And I go back to that first initial interview that Pyle had where he talked about needing to be a lot better screening for injuries before we bring players in. And you look at Phil Plant, bad back, Mark Cody, knee issues, shoulder issues, concussion issues. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that those guys aren't coming back more because of age and durability concerns than just because they were Crom's guys and they were Muskegon Lumberjacks.
But I think you're right, but I think as an extension of that, some of those guys stuck around longer than perhaps they should have because of the Muskegon ties. So it's not necessarily purging the Muskegon ties. It's purging the things that kept guys around beyond when someone else who didn't have Muskegon ties would have kept them around.
I understand what you're saying now, and I agree. I concur.
You concur. Can you spell concur?
No.
All right.
I'm not here to spell things.
No.
I'm here to make predictions like the Vancouver Canucks.
Yes.
Taking the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good.
Oh, boy.
So something else that I got from Pyle, and this was not something he talked about at the season ticket holder event, but fans were trying to figure out this new player-coach dual role thing that the ECHL has instituted. We found out a while back that it's not exempt from the veteran limit. But we figured, well, surely there has to be something gained by assigning this title to someone.
Surely.
So it's probably the fact that you can pay them more and only a certain percentage of it counts against the salary cap. Well, I found out from Pyle that's not the case either. He said that the player coach role is, quote unquote, just a title. It means nothing. So, yeah. I guess other than perhaps it looks good for a player to have on his resume that he was an assistant coach for a season or two, but for the team, it really does nothing.
I think I'm going to add that to my email signature.
You're the player coach?
Player coach, Evansville Iceman.
There you go.
Yep.
Other Iceman news, as revealed by Brian Patafi on the amusement park a couple weeks ago, There were a couple more changes in the Iceman front office. Jeff Smoke Adams, who was the equipment manager just this past season, is no longer with the team. And Kara Hillstead, who was the director of game ops and promotions for the last three seasons, she came down from Muskegon with Terry Ficarelli. And, yeah, just the two of them were the only two that came down. And Crom also had Muskegon ties. But Kara is no longer with the office either. So I believe that makes a total of six people who are no longer with the franchise who ended the season. So a lot of changes, but I think they're all being made with the idea of moving forward in a positive direction, and hopefully that turns out to be the case. But the changes are not limited just to Evansville. Up in Fort Wayne, the Comets are finally undergoing a perhaps long overdue change, depending on who you talk to. Their head coach, Al Sims, has retired as head coach of the Fort Wayne Comets Hockey Club, which is that's the key phrase there. He's retired from the Fort Wayne Comets Hockey Club. The word going around Fort Wayne is that this is completely a cover-up for the fact that he's essentially been fired. This past season was his first losing season in 10 years. He's coached the Comets for 10 seasons over two stints, and this was the first time he's ever had a losing record, and apparently that was enough to get him axed, but they're not actually saying that. They're calling it a retirement. He is 60 years old. He has had 38 seasons in the game as a player and a coach, and he piloted the Comets to four titles in the last six seasons, so it's not like this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Sounds like crybaby Fort Wayne fans
well,
having something to hang their hat on.
Well, the rumor is that he is the leading candidate to take the head coaching job with the Bakersfield Condors. So if he does take
the
coaching
job,
that's
kind of like retirement.
That's true, yeah.
You're leaving Fort Wayne, you're going out to California,
yeah,
to
true.
Work in a nine-team conference. That has pretty,
eight go to the playoffs?
Yeah, that's
That's about as close to retirement as you can get and still be working.
Yeah, that's called that's the pushing the being the greeter at Walmart at the double A hockey level right there. And I'm saying that in a very good way.
Yeah.
I'm saying that is my retirement plan.
No offense to the Walmart greeters.
No, that's my retirement plan here in about 5 years.
Yeah. Hope you don't bank on that. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens with that. The rumor is he might take goaltender Nick Boucher with him. Apparently, Boucher recently tweeted something about feeling like moving out to California. So
Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
I don't know. Like half of the Chili Peppers songs lately have been about California. They've had Californication and a few others. But anyway, we digress.
As per usual.
Yes. Who takes over for the Comets? Who knows? At this point, they haven't announced anything. A lot of the fans are hoping that Colin Chalk, who has been their captain for the past few years, and he has retired as a player due to health problems. But
Rich Crom?
I would guess Chalk's not going to happen because he doesn't have any coaching experience. They may bring him on as an assistant, but I would think that would be it right off the bat. Crom is not going to happen. Other names that they've talked about, the Fort Wayne media thinks Gary Graham is a leading candidate. He's a Fort Wayne native and a former assistant with the Comets. He was an assistant there for three of their titles. And this year he coached the Pensacola team in the SPHL to the playoff championship. So he's got some positive experience. Another name that I think is really interesting that's floating around is Kevin Kaminsky. And this is just interesting because of the guy's backstory. His nickname when he was a player was Killer. Killer Kaminsky.
Of course.
In the 1990-91 season with the Comets in the old IHL.
The Iron League.
Keep in mind, this is a guy who's 5'9 and 170 pounds. In one season, 75 games, he racked up 624 penalty minutes.
That is a lot of fisticuffs and other stuff.
That's what, about 8 or 9 minutes a game?
Yeah.
That's insane. But Kaminsky played 11 seasons, mostly in the NHL and AHL, and he has now had 11 seasons as a head coach, and he's also in the SPHL right now with Louisiana. So those are a couple of the options that people are looking at as far as the fans and the Fort Wayne media. My gut is they're probably going to go a totally different direction. I think they'll kind of do like the Icemen are doing and just start from scratch with someone who doesn't have any ties to the organization. And Michael Franke, one of the Comets brass has more or less said that. He said in a radio interview that they're planning on starting a new era. So my guess is it's going to be somebody that is kind of off of the Comets radar, but I would think maybe they might go to the CHL and look for someone who's been successful over there, or maybe someone who's had past success in the ECHL, kind of like the Icemen are doing with Jeff Pyle.
Very interesting. Well, it'll be, we'll see how that one shakes out. The old in-state rival, both of us just having horrible years last year,
yeah,
and making changes throughout the organizations.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be a new day in the Hoosier hockey rivalry.
Yes, and
I think as often as the teams will play, the names can change, but there's still going to be animosity there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And now it's a race to see who can change their club faster, better,
mm-hmm,
and get it into the playoffs here in the ECHL.
Right.
So, the Brian Patafi tweet of the week.
Iceman fans can follow Iceman athletic trainer and weekly amusement park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi. That's bpatafie.
He has been red hot the past 2 weeks.
Yes, there's been
some
good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. We could do the Brian Patafi. The last 2 weeks, we could run all of next year's shows, like October through December.
Yeah, he's a tweeting madman, or maybe just a madman.
He's a madman who tweets.
Yeah, there you go. But this past week, maybe about a week or two ago, Iceman maniac Brad Perkins tweeted that he saw Patafi jogging. And Patafi's response to his jogging was, quote, "I time myself with a calendar, hashtag slow, hashtag old." I think that's,
yep,
that's about how I should time myself with a calendar.
My favorite, as I was suffering through that Leaf loss the other night, epic failure, Toronto Maple Leaf failure, and
Toronto
we did
Leaf.
Kill off, don't even get me started. We did kill off one Boston power play, and he had tweeted, "Boston power play is like a vasectomy, no shot."
Wow.
Yep. So there we go. Now, our next segment, and our best segment, 3 minutes of no talking from either of us. Shockers Hockey Rock Song of the Week.
All right. Tonight at the Ford Center, there is a concert going on with Ted Nugent, REO Speedwagon, and Styx.
Oh, I got to get some of that music into the play rotation.
Yeah. So this is a tune that kind of goes out to the Iceman fans who feel like they have way too much time to kill this offseason. This is from 1981. It was the number 2 hit on the mainstream rock chart, which was actually Styx's highest charting mainstream rock track. This is Too Much Time on My Hands. We'll be right back.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
Back here on Iceman Insights, Michael Shockley, the Dirty D. Going to break down all the playoffs. It is a wonderful time of the year, regardless of what my Toronto Maple Leafs has done to me and the city of Toronto.
Indeed. This is our little recap. I titled this segment Stanley, Calder, Kelly, and Myron, which is not a law firm. This is the updates for all the playoffs. We will start at the top of the food chain in the National Hockey League, the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll first recap our first round picks. We actually only went head to head on two of the eight series. We went head to head on the Caps Rangers. I picked the Rangers, and also on the Blues Kings. You picked the Kings, so we split on our head to head.
And I still think that Rangers Caps, both those teams suck. So. That one could have gone either way.
Yeah. So beyond the ones where we went head-to-head.
Now, I'm sorry as I jump in here, but it's my radio show. But you had said that the Blues Kings, you had it 50-50, and the only thing that swayed you to the Blues was the fact that it was your
that
team.
Yes.
So you were kind of, that your heart kicked you that extra 2% over.
Yeah,
so.
I was waffling on that one, but yeah, I went with my heart as the tiebreaker, so... But to be fair, we tied on those officially.
Yep.
Overall, I was 4-for-8. You were 4-for-8. We both had one perfect series. Both of us picked Chicago in five. Of the four games we got right, I was off by a total of 3 games. You were off by a total of 5 games. So I was a little closer in that respect. But perhaps the biggest tiebreaker is that you picked the Ducks to sweep the Wings and said that those who picked Detroit to win, quote, know nothing about hockey.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And you know what? I stand by that 100%. This Detroit team is unbelievable. And the fact that I talked about there is no way the Wings could beat the Ducks because they had so many injuries. And Samuelson came back a little bit. Bertuzzi came back a little bit. There's still no Helm, but Abelkader came back. But then they lose David DeKaiser. After the first game with a broken thumb, and I'm thinking they have no bodies. It's like the Iceman, they had no bodies, and they won it in 7 games. They played unbelievable hockey. I don't know how they did it. I don't understand it. I don't know as Anaheim, Toronto, I'm fine with because we are a young team, we're a developing team. That was a major learning lesson. Anaheim, I don't know what you do. I don't know how you lose a series to a team that can't put an 18-man NHL roster together. And kudos go to Mike Babcock and the Detroit Red Wings. They played fantastic.
I think that's kind of, in a nutshell, what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so wonderful. Is you can look at things logically going into a series and... maybe you'll have people on both sides of the fence, but everyone can make a logical case one way or the other, but ultimately it's not played on paper, and the magic happens when the clock is running and there are those 12 men, give or take, on the ice, and it's amazing how unpredictable it can be, and that's what makes it so wonderful.
The Red Wings are my favorite story of the whole playoffs, and in the old days, back when they were the juggernaut, the plan was you just had to get them to do whatever you could to get to overtime, and then all you need is one lucky break, and that's how you beat the Red Wings. And now they did the opposite. This year it was the Red Wings that they forced 4 overtimes in that Anaheim series. And they won 3 of them. And that was the difference, was they were able to find a way to scrap into overtime to win that series, and it is just fantastic. And the young kids, like, I love that Fabian Bruner kid. He is something special. He is up and coming, and I'm a big fan of Corey Emerton, and they just kept working and hitting and working and hitting, and they scrapped their way, and they're playing in the second round. Now, the Blackhawks are going to blow them out of the water. But just absolutely fantastic what they did. And in that game 7, they came right out and they split up Datsyuk and Zetterberg. And so Anaheim home ice advantage. They got their line changes all set up, so they're going to match lines, and they're going to shut down that Datsyuk Zetterberg, and Babcock pulls the switcheroo right off the bat. And they struggled with trying to cope with that. And then, you know, Detroit scores first, makes it 1-0. Anaheim comes right back, 1-1. They get a power play. And what happens? Errant pass across the middle, shorty goal, and that was the backbreaker right there. They were done.
Yeah, it's I will say this. There may not have been a ton of seven-game series in the first round, but there was a lot of really fun to watch hockey.
Yep.
It was, and I think was they a lot said, of back and forth and one-goal games and overtime games.
I think they said a record for the first round of the or for any round of the playoffs, 17 overtime games between the eight series, and that was a playoff record.
I don't doubt that one bit. Before we exit our first-round discussion, we do have to mention your aforementioned pick of the Vancouver Canucks to win it all, and they got swept by the Sharks.
I don't know what Vancouver team showed up for the playoffs, but that team was nothing like the regular season team that I watched play. I love my game center on my computer, and I have my computer hooked up to my TV at home, and there's nothing better than getting home at 9, 10 o'clock at night and watching Vancouver or Anaheim or the LA Kings. That's usually how we wind down at night. We got Ivy in bed, and we get to watch the West Coast hockey. I absolutely love it. I watched a ton of it. That San Jose Shark team looked fast and aggressive and physical, and they were none of those things. And I don't know what that Vancouver – Schneider was obviously injured, but for some reason the whole Luongo thing came up. So even though he played halfway decent in game one, they yanked him and put Schneider in, who wasn't 100% healthy. He was so late. His reaction time, the puck was hitting the glass behind him, and then he started moving his arm. He was banged up. And then the sisters looked like little girls. Some people are not going to be surprised by that. And then the locker room fodder with Bieska talking about San Jose flopping and diving to try and get calls, and Adam Burrish firing back. I have no problem with him saying that we're diving for calls, but before he comes into our locker room, he better walk past number 14's locker stall in his own room and number 17, the Beast, calling out Ryan Kessler, who is just, I mean, for years he's been flopping and diving and everything else. And that team, you want to talk about a problem. That team is just, you want to just fill that room with dynamite and blow it up. Let the pieces fall wherever it may. And next year, they'll have Luongo in net and a whole new hockey club.
Maybe they need to call in a music bomb.
Ooh, nice. But I expect the GM to get fired. I expect the coach to get fired. And I expect myself to get fired for picking them Stanley Cup champions and watching them get swept.
Well, if you got fired every time you made an incorrect prediction.
Yeah, we'd have been done in October.
Yeah, no kidding. We wouldn't have made it anywhere close to this far. So we'll move on with our second round predictions. The first series in the East is the top seed Pittsburgh Penguins against the number 7 Ottawa Senators, who upset Montreal in the first round.
That wasn't really an upset.
Well, we both picked Montreal.
Yeah.
But I think we thought it would be close.
Yeah, Ottawa's up and coming.
And the tough thing in that series was Montreal just got so banged up. That was a shell of Montreal. It wasn't really the Canadiens that we figured we would have in the first round.
But it all makes sense on the outs afterwards.
Yeah, hindsight is 20/20.
I'm going to go with Pitt over Ottawa, but I'll say that's a 7-gamer there. And really? I have no confidence in that at all. Ottawa's up and coming. There's rumors that Spezza could be back.
Yeah, he's supposedly on the verge, but I don't know how effective he'll be. It's been so long since he's played.
Well, Erik Karlsson doesn't look too bad, and he got half his leg chopped off. So.
Well, that's true, yeah. I'm going Penguins in 6, but I wouldn't be shocked if it goes 7, but I just think the Penguins have too much talent, and as long as they put it together, which they did sparingly against the Islanders. But
so you're going to ride the Pittsburgh Penguins with Thomas Vokoun and Marc-Andre Fleury on the bench. That's the thing I go back to. Craig Anderson stops everything. Pittsburgh Penguins on their backup goaler already.
See, the thing is to me, I have thought since day one, Flower is overrated. Vokoun is the better option. I think.
And he's the better option that Washington and Florida gave up on him.
That's true. But I have thought, well, that's not necessarily saying that Vokoun is awesome. It's saying that Flower is not. I've thought for a long time, and I'm not a Penguins fan, but I've thought for a long time, it's scary to think how good they could be if they had a legitimate goalie. Because Marc-Andre Fleury is not it. So is Vokoun the answer? Maybe not, but I really don't think Fleury is. And I think if they can get halfway serviceable goaltending from Vokoun, they'll be all right. They have so much talent offensively that it might not matter. If you give up four, we can score six. So,
well, that's what they did in the New York Islanders
series. Yeah, exactly. And there's some question in my mind is how much they really, you know, was there a sense of urgency there, or did they just think, we can cruise against the Islanders and turn this on whenever we need to and get out of this series, and it's not a big deal. But if they try that against Ottawa, I don't think the result will be the same. They're going to have to play 100%. And I think as long as they get serviceable goaltending from Vokoun, they'll be all right. But, yeah, you got Pittsburgh in seven. I got them in six. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if it goes seven. I would be mildly surprised if Ottawa pulls it out. But that's one of those series that is – again, that's why you play the games. Yep. They're not played on paper, because you could look at that and make a case for the Penguins sweeping them. You could look at it and make a case for Ottawa winning in five or six, and we'll just have to see what happens.
It will be exciting.
The other series in the East is an original six matchup, the four-seeded Boston Bruins, the Leaf Killers, the Leaf Blowers. Leaf Blowers?
Yeah.
Against the number six New York Rangers. My pick in that, I got Bruins in seven. What do you think?
I'll take Boston in five, and I almost would predict sweep. I'm just – Rangers are up and coming, but I just don't like that team.
See,
there's players, there's parts of it that I really like. Lundqvist is the man. I love Ryan Callahan. He's an awesome captain. Derek Brassard, 8 points in the series, but I just don't think they're there yet.
Who do they have on defense? Is Brian
Michael
Leach
Delzato. Yeah. To unfortunately, no. Michael Delzato. They have Mark Stahl if he ever gets back and healthy. Who else do they got back there? Yeah, it's a bunch of lunch pail guys.
Eastern Conference. I mainly watch the West because that's where my favorite teams are. But I know you being a Leafs fan, you're a little more familiar with the East.
Well, they call him Michael Del Zero too. Just to yeah.
It's a shame he can't wear jersey number zero. I don't believe the NHL allows you to wear jersey number zero.
I don't think so. USA Hockey, you can, though.
Really?
Yep.
Didn't used to. Used to be, when I was a kid, you had to wear one or higher.
Nope, you can wear zero or double zero.
Ooh. Well, how about that?
Yep.
So you could wear a zero and go, hey, baby, drop the hero and get with the zero.
Yeah, I guess. You could try that.
Yeah, it's not going to work. all right. So I got Boston in seven. You got Boston in five. In the West, the top-seeded Chicago Blackhawks against the number 7-seed Detroit Red Wings in another original six matchup. Who you got?
I'm going with Chicago, and I'm going to say seven. I have no faith in Detroit at all, again, just because of the injuries. But they are scrappy, and this will be the last time these two teams meet in the playoffs unless it's a Stanley Cup Finals with Detroit moving to the East. So I think it's going to be a war.
I think it will be very difficult. I'm going Hawks in five, but I won't be surprised at all if it goes farther than that.
And the flip side is if the Hawks sweep them, I won't be surprised either.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one of those series where it could go any way. I could see Detroit continuing to do what they did against the Ducks and just scratch and claw it out and force it to seven and maybe even win it. But I think Chicago just has too much talent. The one thing that could hurt them is they wrapped up the first round so quickly. They might be a little rusty early, and who knows, if Detroit gets a little momentum early in that series, if they can get a split in Chicago, who knows what will happen after that. The other series in the West is a Battle of California, which I'm sure will garner huge ratings on television.
I'll be watching.
You and four other people. It's the 5-seed Los Angeles Kings against the 6-seed San Jose Sharks. Who you got?
Well, to go back to the whole TV ratings things, what channel are they putting the games on anyways? CNBC? Tons of people have that channel as an option. Hey, NBC, why don't you put one game on? They haven't played a playoff game yet on NBC.
Yeah, I think – there might have been one in early in the first round. But, yeah, this past weekend there were none.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
See, marketing. I like it when they put games on CNBC because I get CNBC and I don't get NBC Sports Network.
I don't like it because I had to watch the games at my in-laws' house.
Well –
exactly.
Is that because it's your in-law's house?
Yes. It is a...
It's not because it's someone else's house. It's because it's your in-law's house, specifically.
Let's just say my game language and my preferred beverages are both...
Not in-law's house friendly.
Yeah. And then mixed together with a Leaf victory, you now understand the situation I have put myself in.
I see. So, King Sharks.
I think the Sharks suck. I think Vancouver sucks so bad that they lost to a sucky Shark team. So I'm going L.A. in five.
L.A. in five. I've got L.A. in six. So we're more or less in agreement with that.
I really don't think San Jose is that good. They started off really hot, and they played kind of 500 hockey against Edmonton and Calgary the rest of the way. I don't know what that Vancouver thing is, just crazy.
So we vary on the number of games in each series, but we are in agreement on who will win all four of them, which probably means we're going to be wrong.
We're
going to
lose three.
Yeah, the Stanley
Congratulations,
Cup.
Ottawa.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup Finals is going to be Ottawa and San Jose. Wow. So that's our NHL look. Moving on, the AHL, which is the Calder part of the law firm. The second round is underway. The Springfield Falcons, who may or may not remain the Icemen's AHL affiliate, did beat Manchester 3-1 in the best-of-five first round. They are now in the second round taking on the Syracuse Crunch, which is a great minor league hockey name.
Yep.
That series is underway. Syracuse is leading 2-0, so Springfield's got to get it going. Both of the losses were at home, so that's a tough hole to climb out of.
Yep.
But it is best of seven, so I suppose there's time. They're going to have to win some games on the road. In the ECHL, the conference finals are over. The Reading Royals beat the Cincinnati Cyclones in 5.
Kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I thought it would be a better series than that. I think I probably would have leaned toward Reading winning, but I thought it would be more than 5. Out west, Stockton beat Idaho in 5. So the Kelly Cup finals are the Reading Royals and the Stockton Thunder. Reading will have home ice in the series. And for those who are wondering geographically, that is one of the longest splits in the ECHL. Reading, Pennsylvania, and Stockton, California are 2,800 miles apart, which, according to Google Maps, is a 41-hour drive.
Awesome. They better get that worked in with the bus schedule.
They've got to be flying. There's only one travel day between games 2 and 3, and then 2 travel days between games 5 and 6. So, there's not going to be any bus travel in that series. Can you imagine that, though, a 41-hour drive?
I've done it.
Have you really?
Mm-hmm.
Where to?
Seattle. From here, Evansville to Seattle.
Why?
To go visit a friend and move him back to Evansville. I took my minivan out there.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Was it like Little Miss Sunshine?
It kind of was. Especially when we did it in 44 hours. We did a 2-hour layover in Denver. We stopped after 20 hours.
Wow.
And then we had dinner in Boise, Idaho.
Ooh.
And that was it. The rest of the time we were driving. And then I showed up at my buddy's house at around 2 a.m. and he was hammered drunk, him and his buddies. And then
some welcoming committee.
Yes. So then I fell asleep on his couch, and by 6 a.m. he started puking violently.
Oh, that's nice.
For the rest of the day.
Was that your wake-up call?
Yes.
Wow. So,
anyways, as we digress.
Yeah. So, moving on, that's our ECHL update. In the CHL, now you get to talk about Todd Robinson.
Unbelievable.
In the finals, the Allen Americans beat the Wichita Thunder in 7, and in Game 7, the Thunder were up 2-0 after 2, but Allen came back, forced overtime, and then Todd scored the game winner. He finished the playoffs with 22 points and
led the league.
Yeah, number one in the league. He was +9 in 19 playoff games.
Second place.
Yes. My thinking is, if he really was considering retiring, he's going to retire. Because you can't go out better than scoring an overtime game winner at home in Game 7 to win the championship.
Yep.
So that's you can talk about him however you want, but if you're a hockey player, that's pretty much what you dream about.
I also think all the Todd Robinson haters on Facebook, I just think it's funny that they're trying to use this as it proves that he couldn't keep up in the ECHL. And it's just like, what? No way.
Bit of a logical
leap. Yeah, but just the fact that people are trying to do that, I thought was very funny. I mean, you can call it however you want to call it. Everyone's perspective is different, but I'm sure he looks in the mirror every morning and says, boy, did I make the right call. Yeah. I won a championship for
a
team.
It worked for him. Yep. But one person that was not happy about it was Brian Patafi. After Game 7 ended on Twitter, he posted, quote, "I sometimes see the selfish rewarded. I will continue to try and walk with integrity and accept whatever comes my way. Hashtag be loyal."
And I'm planning on bringing up this topic with B. Patafi here in a few minutes.
Are you now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's a nice little tease. So that's our playoff update.
Yep.
The law firm is now closed.
And ways to kill that time on your hands.
Yeah, see, this is the segment that was originally going to follow the song of the week, which was Too Much Time on My Hands. But
they still remembered it.
Yeah.
These are smart
callback
fans. You didn't have to go that.
Yeah, well, so they're smart.
Plus, they're looking.
Your Etch-a-Sketch brain probably forgot what the song was.
No, I remembered it as soon as I read that line. But they're all just going crazy because we brought up Todd Robinson in a positive light. So
yeah,
people are throwing things around their house. I love it.
So anyway, ways to kill that time on your hands. A couple things I wanted to mention. First off, within the next week or two, the Iceman Maniacs Booster Club will be announcing the annual Cool Summer Fan Gathering schedule.
Cool Summer schedule.
Yes. For those of you who are new to the team, the Booster Club has done this every year for the last, I think this will be our fourth summer doing it, where basically we just put out a list of events around the tri-state throughout the off-season that are suggested times for everyone to kind of get together and hang out and renew old acquaintances and just have a good time. So typically, you know, Evansville Otters baseball games and visits to Ellis Park and Demolition City Roller Derby, things like that. So within the next week or two, we should have the schedule out. It'll probably end up being somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 8 events between now and when the next hockey season starts up. So it'll give people something to do to get together and hang out and just have some fun together when there's no hockey to be getting together for at the Ford Center. And when the schedule is announced, it'll be up on IcemanManiacs.com. So check the website within the next week or two. Also wanted to mention, our buddy Jacob Franklin Esquire III has organized an Iceman Maniacs co-ed softball team.
Because he has enough names for each one of the positions.
Yeah, there you go. Each jersey gets a different name that he uses on Facebook. They will play for 11 straight weeks starting next week, one game per week. Times and locations are still to be determined. I think he's supposed to get the schedule tomorrow, so whenever he gets the schedule, he's going to send it to me. I'll put it up on the Maniac message board on IcemanManiacs.com. So you can check out when the Iceman Maniacs softball team will be playing. I'll also put the roster up on the message board. There are a few people who regularly listen to this show who are going to be playing, and there are a few people who are or were Iceman front office staffers. Kyle Fernetten and Matt Kyle and Sally Ann are all playing.
Sweet, so we can go out there and boo them and tell them how bad they suck and
throw cowbells at them.
And then go on Facebook and say Jacob Franklin is a horrible coach and he deserves to be fired because his players don't play a softball possession style of hockey.
I'm going to take a sign that says, "This team would be better if it was run by Jacob Franklin Esquire IV.
Ooh, I like that.
So anyway, yeah, speaking of that, I am going to try to work one of the softball games into the Cool Summer schedule. So hopefully we can pick one date and try to get a bunch of people out there to cheer on our fellow Maniacs. That'd be pretty cool.
Yep.
And that's the Too Much Time on Your Hands, how to alleviate that. And we'll move on next is our Silly Season update. We talked a lot about Silly Season during our last show, and a few things have broken since then. First off, in the ECHL, the Florida Everblades and their home arena are for sale, if anyone has a few million dollars lying around. They are owned by a man by the name of Peter Carmanos Jr. He's 70 years old, and he's a guy who got rich on CompuWare, which you're familiar with.
CompuWare, yes, indeed.
A major software company that's based in Detroit. He is
always wanted to be a part of the Red Wing organization.
Yeah.
And he and Mike Ilitch did not get along.
And that's why he bought the Hartford Whalers and later moved them to Carolina.
Yep.
And he still is owner of the Carolina Hurricanes. He also owns, since he couldn't buy the Red Wings, he brought in his own team for the Detroit area. He owns the Plymouth Whalers in the Ontario Hockey League, the Junior League.
Yep. And we used to go out and watch them all the time back in the old barn. And then they have a beautiful ice arena out in Plymouth.
Yeah. I've been there, actually.
Oh, sweet.
Went to a wrestling show there several years ago when my wife was
okay,
in law school.
Okay, you're
in
not
Michigan.
Cool anymore.
Yeah. I know. So, what do you mean anymore? I was never cool to begin with.
I don't know. I don't know what my daughter sees in you.
Well, trust me, as she gets older, she'll learn.
Yeah.
So in other news, it is widely expected that once the ECHL playoffs wrap up, we will find out that Rapid City and Allen are moving from the CHL to the ECHL. Rapid City was actually supposed to have a press conference this week about that, but it got postponed because apparently the ECHL commissioner could not make it.
Todd Robinson has got to hold on. He has got to play one more year in Allen.
Stay with Allen and come here.
That would be so cool.
Boy, it would be a really interesting reaction, wouldn't
it? Yep.
And by interesting, I mean a lot of booing.
Yep. A lot of tickets sold. I'd love to put that one on the Wednesday night or the Thursday night because those midweek ones are tough to sell.
See how many people come. Yeah,
see how many haters spend their hard-earned money
there you go.
To boo Todd Robinson.
Hey, if Allen, they would probably be in the Western Conference, but if they want to travel to the East, they could come here, play on a Wednesday, then go to Fort Wayne and Cincinnati and make a weekend of it. Tour the beautiful Ohio Valley. But interestingly, if Allen does leave, it will be the third straight year that the CHL's champion will not defend their title. Because in 2010-2011, the Bossier Shreveport Mudbugs won the championship and then folded.
You want to talk about a great minor league hockey
Mudbugs.
Name.
Mudbugs, oh yeah. I always loved it. I wanted them to come here for a game just because I wanted to hear Steven Rickard talking about the Mudbugs.
Me too.
Hey, we mentioned Steven Rickard without mentioning a certain...
How about that?
Yeah. It's his, great restraint.
His leaf blower.
Wow. Yikes.
I'm looking for a commercial button here to play.
Yeah.
Or a hi-hat.
We're going to take a
Where's
break.
Where's the hi-hat?
Wow. So, yeah, the Mudbugs last year.
Fort Wayne Comets.
The Fort Wayne Comets won and then came over to the ECHL. And then this year, the Allen Americans may be coming to the ECHL. So I'm sure the CHL is getting tired of losing their champions, but it's kind of the state of the way things are over there. Also in the CHL, the future of the Fort Worth Brahmas is way up in the air. There's a lot of talk that they're going to go to juniors. And last week, their official Facebook page, the staff posted that they are going to, quote, regroup while the ownership decides what they want to do for next year. So it does not sound like they have an ironclad plan to stay in the CHL in Fort Worth. And then we found out this past Monday that there's another CHL team leaving, apparently. The Peoria Journal-Star reported on Monday that Peoria is joining the SPHL this coming season for the 2013-2014 season.
That's going to be another interesting travel situation.
Yeah. They are retaining the Riverman name, apparently, and they're not going alone. They are taking the Bloomington Blaze along with them.
That is not surprising either.
The Riverman and the Blaze will be owned and managed by the same group. I think it's slightly surprising just because Bloomington's ownership situation was totally up in the air, but apparently now this group is going to own both teams. And I think this, at least for now, rules out the idea of Peoria coming to the ECHL. The rumor is that the deal will be for three seasons, so the earliest they could come over would be after the 2015-2016 season. We'll see what happens if that ends up being the case, that it's 3 years. I think the fans there would like to see the ECHL return, but who knows? Maybe the SPHL will work out for them, but that is a very odd travel situation because outside of Illinois, the closest team will be the Mississippi River Kings, which is in Memphis.
That really does surprise me. I'm surprised they didn't go Federal Hockey League. Because Dansville had a club there.
Well, I just think that league is a total dumpster fire. I mean, they don't know if their teams are going to last for the next week, let alone the whole season. So
SP's pretty solid.
Yeah,
for that level,
and it's growing. The quality of hockey is improving. So geographically, it doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, Peoria in the quote Southern Professional Hockey League. I looked it up, and Peoria is farther north than noted southern cities like Brooklyn, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. So that's how southern Peoria is. It's farther north than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I remember my Civil War geography and some of those teams. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
Them be Yankees.
Yeah, them northerners. So we'll see what happens. The talk is that the SP is interested in forming a Midwest division, possibly luring some other teams out from other leagues.
That's what I'm interested to see as well.
Yeah, maybe Quad City, if they can get new ownership. Right now, they're under control of the CHL, so I don't see the CHL paying to move one of their teams to another league. Maybe Dayton is in play, which is currently in the Federal League. I think the CHL didn't work. The ECHL really wouldn't work, but maybe the SPHL would be doable financially for them. And with Peoria and Bloomington coming in, maybe it would be more feasible. I don't know. We'll see what they do. I have this feeling that Peoria is not going to be there for good, but it may stave off their move back to the ECHL where they used to be. So we'll see what happens. And if Bloomington leaves the CHL, that league is really falling apart. If Bloomington leaves, if they lose Rapid City and Allen, and if Fort Worth goes juniors, that leaves Missouri, Wichita, Tulsa, which may go junior, Denver, which fared poorly in their first season. They didn't draw well at all. Arizona, which is on an island. Quad City, which is currently under league ownership because their owners went MIA. Expansion team in Brampton, which
Ontario.
Is on an island. And the St. Charles Chill, who are completely DOA. So
I even contacted the Man Crush, and he did not have too much information
really
to report on that situation. So they're struggling.
It's a mess. I think we're definitely on the brink of seeing the CHL fall apart altogether. It's just a matter of how quickly does it happen, and which teams will be left standing to possibly come over to the E, or I guess now going to the SPHL might be an option too if they do indeed try to expand their geographic footprint a little bit. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens as the offseason continues, as the hockey world turns. One other thing to note, the Vancouver Sun also reported on Monday that the Canucks have been granted a 30-day extension by the AHL to determine their AHL franchise's plans for this coming season. The deadline was this past Monday, and obviously they're not going to play in Peoria. But they don't know where they are going to play. So they have until June 12th to figure out what they're going to do. They maintain that they want to keep the team operational, but they don't have a place to play them right now. So they're trying to sort something out. I suppose it is an option to go dormant for a year, but they really don't want to do that because I saw that if they do that, they will have to pay the AHL $150,000 just to go dark for a year. And in the world of paying something to get nothing, that's about as expensive as it gets.
Yeah, it's like my wife agreeing to marry me.
Wow. Yeah, you outpunted your coverage on that one, didn't you? So did I, though.
She got suckered into that one.
So that silly season, something else that we always look forward to in the summer is the annual rite of passage that is signing players left and right and fighting for who's going to come back and who's not, and players changing teams left and right. And to that end, the ECHL has some critical dates this offseason that we can look forward to. First off, June 1 is when protected lists are due. The protected list has no limit on the number of players, and it can be anyone who was your ECHL property at the end of the season.
Ah, interesting.
There are 24 players who would be eligible for that list for the Icemen. So this has to be guys that were our property. Affiliates couldn't have owned them, and guys that we released are no longer our property. But anyone who was – it's basically anyone who was on a roster at the end of the season and anyone who we had put on team suspension, i.e. guys
Todd
that
Robinson.
Jumped leagues. Right. That basically runs from June 1 to June 15. On June 15, the protected lists are null and void, and they are replaced by the, quote, season-ending rosters – and that is a maximum of 20 players. And your season-ending roster can include anyone whose property you still own after the June 13th deadline to complete trade the trades that had future considerations. So basically, everyone you had, you can put on your protected list on June 1. By June 13, if you had any outstanding future considerations, you have to unload guys. And then on June 15, you have to pare your list down to 20. And that takes effect on June 15 and lasts until July 1. On July 1, that's when qualifying offers are due. And a qualifying offer, there's terms as far as how much a guy is paid, and returning players are guaranteed a raise of X percentage and things like that. We're not going to get into that detail, but you can only qualify 8 players, and only 4 of those 8 can be veterans. Now, if a player is signed to a new contract by July 1, you don't have to qualify him. And if you do not sign a guy by July 1 and you don't qualify him, he immediately becomes an unrestricted free agent. So that's basically when your protected list and your season-ending rosters mean nothing anymore, because if they haven't been qualified, they're not your property anymore. They can go sign wherever they want.
So that is the start of the new year.
Essentially, yes. Now, the qualifying offers, how it works varies by whether you're a veteran or not. If you're a veteran, if you're qualified on July 1, you have until August 1st to sign with that team. If on August 1st you have not signed with the team, you become a restricted free agent for 1 month until the end of August. While you're a restricted free agent, basically you can negotiate with other teams, but if you come to terms with another team, your team has a chance to match. And if they choose not to match, then the other team can just sign him, no penalty. You know, you don't get anything for giving up the player. Now, if by August 31st you have not signed with a team, then you become an unrestricted free agent. You can go anywhere. So even if it's a veteran and you qualify him, if you don't end up signing him, you still lose his rights on August 31st. That's different than if you're not a veteran. If you're not a veteran, if you're qualified on July 1 and you're not signed by August 1, then on August 1st, you retain his rights for one full season. So even if you don't sign him, you still basically protect him. So you can end up signing him to different terms that are not bided by the qualifying offer that was made, or you can trade him. And that happened this season. The reason why the Icemen had to trade future considerations to Toledo to get Matt Krug was because he had been qualified by Toledo last summer. Now, they never signed him, but because he was never signed and he wasn't a veteran, he remained their property through the end of this season. And that's why we had to send something his way or their way. I don't know what we ended up sending. I'm a bucket of pucks or Brian Patafi's jock. I don't know. They'd probably send that back.
Yep.
Extra, extra small. So that's the dates that we have to look forward to. June 1, protected list. June 15, season-ending rosters. July 1, qualifying offers. August 1 is when they have to be signed. And for veterans, August 31 is the date that they will become an unrestricted free agent if not signed.
The crumbling of the CHL will have an effect on players and their leverage on the qualifying offers.
Very much so. And it may also lead to more players being on the market. If there's CHL teams that step down to juniors or step down to the SPHL, those guys aren't going to go down to the SPHL willingly. Some of them may end up having no other choice.
I don't know. But that's got to be a major pay cut.
Oh, I would think so, but that, you know, if it's between taking a pay cut and getting a real job, a lot of them will probably happily take a pay cut, even if they don't really want to. But it's going to be really interesting to see between Trenton folding and then, who knows, 1 to 3 or 4 or 5 CHL teams.
Well, and the Everblades, too.
Well, they're for sale, but it sounds like they're going to keep operating just fine.
So they're just... Got the,
they're on the market.
They got the sign out front.
Right.
But they're still
operating.
Not
shutting down. They're just for sale. So, and it sounds like it's a good situation. They're turning a profit. The arena is nice. The fan support is good. It's just a matter of Carmonos wants to retire. So he's trying to get out of it and find someone else to take over the day-to-day. So I don't think they're in any danger of folding up their tent anytime soon. Who knows? If they're on the market for a year or two and he hasn't found a taker, maybe he'll shut them down. But I think someone will end up buying that team. There's probably money to be made there, especially since it's comes
Florida.
With, well, it's Florida, and it's not just the team. You're buying the arena, too. And when you can buy an arena, if you book it right, you should be able to make money. Yep. So that's our summer dates, which brings us to
Iceman Trivia.
You are 6-11.
Yep.
You did get the last one correct.
Yep, of course.
You always think you got the last one correct.
Yes, I do.
This one is about face-offs. I ended up tallying up the totals from this past season.
Which yeah, there's something to do when you got time on your hands.
Yeah. Well, I did it for Coach Pyle.
Ah.
I wasn't just doing it willy-nilly.
Brown noser.
You're darn Skippy. in the 36 Iceman home games.
Did you pull up in your car with your I Hate Muskegon bumper sticker on there?
No, that was my t-shirt. In this past season, 36 home games, we had 2,236 total face-offs, which is about 20 per period. The Icemen won a total of 12-10 and 10-26, which is about 54% on draws, which you should be about that good at home. And the two guys that took the most by far were Todd Robinson and Jason Dale. They combined for 57.5% of all of the faceoffs taken at home. That's not their win-loss percentage. That's the number that they took. So that's a lot. Todd ended up the season 56.3% on draws. And
Jason Dale
went 53.9%. So they were both pretty good. Beyond them, nobody took more than a couple hundred. So they were the bulk of them. But my question for you is, which of the following Iceman players did not take a face-off at home this season? This is multiple choice. Your four choices are Cody Beach, Jim McKenzie, Stefan De La Rovere, or Mark Cody.
Wow. I think De La Rovere played a little bit of center. So I'm going to knock him off the list. Cody Beach. Was he ever on the ice when he wasn't in the penalty box?
Well, for a few seconds at a time.
Okay, I'm going to guess Cody Beach. Dang it!
He actually took two. He went 1-1. Jim McKenzie took one, went 1-0. Mark Cody took one, went 0-1. Stefan De La Rovere never took a face-off for the Iceman at
home. There you go. He's the Vancouver Canucks of that trivia question. didn't we move him to center?
Nope, he never played center, never took a single draw at home.
Who was it that got moved to center and played a lot better?
St. Marie.
It might have been St. Marie.
St. Marie took a bunch late in the season.
Yeah, that's who I got those two screwed up.
Yeah.
Oh, so, what a shock. 6-12. Not too bad.
That's 33%.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. That's good in baseball. You're hitting .333.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Final thoughts. Final thoughts. Yeah, as we close in on the 45-minute barrier.
Well, we got to keep people waiting for Patafi.
We do.
Yeah.
Our next show, we don't know.
No.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
We use that as a tease. Yeah. In the business, they call that a tease. Well,
stay tuned, but we don't know.
Over the next 3 weeks.
We don't know when you're supposed to stay tuned.
Keep checking back to IcemanManiacs.com. Boy, that was beauty on the Asylum page with, was it Ryan Huff that made a joke about not knowing when Iceman Insights were and saying something about next week, and you posted something about he failed
math and reading a calendar or something. Yeah, because he said somebody told him it was this week. This was last week, and he was like, that's 2 weeks or something. I don't remember exactly the context.
It was fantastic.
It proved that Ryan Huff does not know how to read a calendar.
Yeah. I also liked how he was – you want to talk about someone riding the Maple Leaf bandwagon. He was –
he jumped on in a hurry.
Yeah,
he
did. He jumped on and fanned his own – his, you know – showed his feathers and everything else like a peacock and silly man. Don't you know it's the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah.
There is nothing safe when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Even a 3-goal lead with 11 minutes left in a game 7. And boy, oh boy.
You jump on that bandwagon, you better be ready for the wheels to fall off.
Yeah, when you jump on that bandwagon, you better bring your flame retardant underoos and a lot of booze because it's not going to end well.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, next show it will either be 2 or 3 weeks in all likelihood, probably May 29th or June 5th. We haven't determined that yet, but yeah, I will. Whenever we sort it out, we will put it up on IcemanManiacs.com. So when you go to the page that has this week's episode, it will say next scheduled broadcast date, whenever.
Exactly.
So
I need to give a shout out before we put a close on this. Is it has been a good year for myself personally. Back in January, I think it was January, was it February? It was a long time ago. I got to perform the wedding ceremony of Drew Campbell mm-hmm. and Ashley Simpson. And I will be doing another Iceman fan wedding on Thursday. I will be marrying Brandon Key to one Sarah Morton.
I'm glad you didn't just stop at Key.
Yes.
You will be marrying Brandon Key.
I will be marrying Brandon Key.
Congratulations.
We are very excited.
I didn't know that was legal in Indiana.
So, no, Brandon Key, somehow, Brandon Key, he found the Iceman in the first year Central Hockey League out at Swander Ice Arena, fell in love with hockey, had never played, picked up skates and started skating, and I met him through the Tuesday night class, and we've been buddies ever since. I don't know how he did it. Well, you want to, again, talk about, what was the term you used? Out-punting your coverage. But, yeah, he pulled himself out of dandy and won Sarah Morton. And they became season ticket holders together at all the Ford Senator games. And wedding is this Thursday, and we're pretty excited for it. So
I think it's the hockey. I think it's the fact that a lot of guys that are into hockey out-punt their coverage. And I think it's hockey makes us more attractive somehow.
It may. I agree
with
that.
It's the magical 100%. Power of hockey.
But it backfired in my own life because as I was dating my wife and we were engaged, it was the Olympics, and she fell in love with Dominic Hasek and Jaromir Jagr and the Czech team that won gold that year.
Was that when Jagr was still sporting a full-on mullet?
No, that was a long
post-haircut.
Time ago. But it's still, regardless, it's a bunch of commie bastards. You cannot like these guys. And what a debacle. What an absolute.
That's pretty awful.
We've been in therapy for a long time.
Yeah, I can see that. But about Brandon, I think that's cool that he found the Iceman at Swander and now is a hockey guy.
Yep.
And I think I've said this before that the way I see life is there are two kinds of people in life, hockey fans and people who don't yet realize they're hockey fans.
Yes.
Because I firmly contend that if anyone gives hockey a chance with a truly open mind, you will love it, especially if you go to a game in person. I think the only people who swear up and down that they're not hockey fans have never truly given it a chance. Because if you like sports at all and you give hockey a shot, you will fall in love with it. And I think we hear that a lot with Iceman fans who, you know, get drugged to a game with a friend and they swear up and down they never liked hockey, and even though they'd never really seen a game. But they come to one Iceman game and all of a sudden they're hooked and they want to get season tickets right away. And that's more common than people might think. And I think it's just proof of how awesome this game is and how it can suck people in and never let go.
I like a leaf blower. It's been my experience in the 15 years in Evansville that all you have to do is take a person to a hockey game or even watch at home on TV, but you got to teach them two rules. You got to teach them offsides and you got to teach them icing. And once they understand those two rules, the whole game makes sense. And everyone can figure out hooking and holding and tripping and high sticking. That stuff all comes easy. You explain those two rules and they are hooked.
Icing happened when the puck go down, Ben, yeah. You know, the other guy. And the game stopped and start up.
Exactly.
Isn't that essentially what it is? You know, the other thing you always have to explain to new people is where the heck the goalie's going. Because every time there's a delayed penalty or you're down a goal late, people freak out. So once they get a grasp of why the goalie's leaving his net in the middle of play, they suddenly settle down and get it. But, yeah, icing, offsides, and where the goalie's going.
Oh, yeah. Was that Aaron Miller? Yeah, that pulling the goalie thing, that worked really well for Boston on Monday night. It worked really, really bleeping well.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. Were both of them empty net or extra attacker?
Yeah, they scored with a minute 22 and then the second one at the 44-second mark, both with the goalie pulled.
Man. It's a shame that that strategy never works.
I just, oh my there, gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see it, but there's currently smoke coming out of Benini's ears.
Just unfortunate. Unbelievable.
More smoke than usual, I should say.
Well, yeah, because usually that smoke's just a misfiring in the Etch-a-Sketch brain.
There's a few spark plugs going haywire. This is just rage.
Yeah. Rage and disappointment and... Do we need to wrap this up
before Patafi kills me for talking to
Yes. Yep. Probably. So, yeah, check us out. He is Michael Shockley. He joins us every time we do a show, whenever it may be.
Yeah.
He is the senior writer, webmaster, and vice president of Off-Beat Shenanigans. You can check out all the information on the Iceman. I doubt the Courier Press ever writes an article at this point. So, you can go
that
to...
That was Derek.
Yes.
That was not me.
IcemanManiacs.com, Dirty D with the Amusement Park, bringing you arena rock and hockey nonsense and horrible predictions.
And non-hockey nonsense.
Yes, all afternoon long. So, with that being said, we will...
See you on the radio.
That was our longest segment ever.
The puck is in, the home team wins, the good old hockey game.